We're to Exodus 20, 12. Again, the subject matter is victory over culture.
Yep.
Victory over culture, and we left off in dealing with the children, and the thought process behind this entire chapter here, victory over culture, is that you and I have the opportunity by raising godly children and having godly homes to affect the culture. Because it is being affected in a negative way. By the way, I got a chance to talk to my the brother that I led to the Lord over in Holland. He had three of his colleagues here from Holland.
Wow.
Got a chance to talk to them, and I asked one. I said, "Now, why did you want to come to America?" And he told me this. He said, "Because we see you guys on television all the time, and I wanted to know if that was true." So if what he sees on television is a representation of us, what do you think he thinks about us? One thing he said, we don't like each other.
Uh-huh.
He said, you guys don't like each other. He said, you guys are always fighting with each other. He said, I see that all the time. Another thing he said, of course, he got this from Hollywood. He said, you guys are, he didn't actually say this, but I could tell the implication was there. We like other people in other nations more than we like our own people, because we're always helping somebody else. We don't help each other. And I thought that was pretty interesting assessment of him. He said, you guys don't like, you don't like yourselves. You don't take care of each other. And he said, and Hollywood portrays you guys. And I thought that was really interesting how he said that. So what they see and what they think about us, they get from television.
Yep.
And Hollywood. And you know the Hollywood shows as much as I know them.
Oh, yeah.
It is not a very good description of us, although it may be accurate in a lot of cases. And so it really was a blessed time talking with those guys. Got a chance to share the gospel with them. You know, you don't get these opportunities often, but they came into my office on Thursday, and they sat down, and I said, "Well, so why did Franz tell you guys to come see me?" And the leader of the group, it was three of them, said this. He said that one day you guys were driving down the road and he saw the light. And he said, you showed him the light. He said, we want to know what light did you show him, because he's different from everybody else. And he said, tell us what you told him.
Wow.
Can you imagine the opportunity? I mean, that's a wide open door. Tell us what happened. In other words, they were saying, tell us how he got saved. Man, talk about having fun. I had a good time with that. Amen. All three of them sat there like children, just listening and wondering. Two were in their 30s and the other one was 50, I think 51. And they all worked for one of my old colleagues that I led to the Lord about 20 years ago.
Wow.
And they said that he is still on fire for Jesus.
That's amazing.
20 years ago. And his troops came over here. So I was just beside myself with that one. So praise God for that. What a blessing it was. So thank you for all those that heard me ask you to pray about that on Wednesday night. God answered the prayers on that one miraculously. Exodus chapter number 20 and verse 12 is the memory verse that we left you off with. Let's go ahead and say the reference, and then we'll say the verse and then the reference. Here we go. Exodus 20, 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Exodus 20, 12. Father, thank you once again for the blessing of knowing your word. I pray that you would guide in this Sunday school hour. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach and train our children to be a godly witness for thee. Work in our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. Again, we left off with this. This command was given to Moses. And think about that. It was given to Moses and not the children. But it says, honor thy father and thy mother. So whose job was it to teach honor thy father and thy mother to the children? The parents.
The parents.
It was given to Moses. This was a command. And now from that command, these adult parents here now were to train all their children to honor their father and their mother.
Yep.
And it goes on to say this. And thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So if I'm going to train my children to honor me, I'm going to teach them all these commandments as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing how how can I say it? The responsibility is put back on the parent. Now, mind you, after the flood, everybody that got off the boat was saved. So that means at one point, everybody in the world was saved. But now we come up to Moses' time, everybody is not saved. So now this crowd here has been rescued out of Egypt, and they're coming into the promised land, and God is trying to teach them, this is what I want you to do to train up your children so that they can get saved. Amen. And so he gives them the Ten Commandments here. So going back in your book here, I think you guys are on what, page 26, 25, amen. And we've got all those blanks filled in on page 25, right? Which blanks don't we have filled in? Oh, Roman numeral 3. Okay, so we'll give you Roman numeral 3 today here as well. And then we'll get into that. All right. So everybody's got Roman numeral 1 and 2. Who doesn't have any of the Roman? Yes, Serge? Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 2. Victory in a loving family. Okay, everybody got that? Victory in a loving family? Anybody else need another Roman numeral? Or an A? Roman numeral 1 is victory in a real faith. Victory in a real faith. And again, on that one, we talked about how we've got to make sure that we're saved. Victory's in being saved and knowing that you're saved. Then A, it was a faith that revealed God's love. And then B, it was a faith that removed fear. So knowing about God's love helps remove fear. Okay? Roman numeral 2, victory in a loving family, making sure that our families are what they need to be. Then A was wives encourage their husbands. B, husbands honor their wives. We talked about that last week. And then C, parents provide guidance.
Yep.
Parents provide guidance. And that's where we left off at last week. All right. And go to Titus chapter 2 and verse 4 here with me real quick. Titus 2 and verse number 4. I'm talking about parents provide guidance. Titus 2 and verse 4. And who's there that can read that for me? Titus 2 and verse 4. Sam, if you can read that for me. Okay. Now, the Bible there is encouraging mothers to not only love their husbands, but love their children. Why do you think the emphasis is placed on the mother to love the children? Shouldn't fathers love them too? Shouldn't fathers love children too?
Yep.
Why the emphasis on the mom there in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4? Rose? Right. This was a culture in where the mom spent most of the time with the children. She was at home with them. There was no such thing as public schools back in those days. The children were homeschooled by their parents. They learned what they learned. They learned a trade from their father and normally went right behind their father and learned the trade that the father had. And so the mothers oftentimes were at home with the children to raise them up. And so he lets the wife or the mother know. He says down there in verse number 4. Matter of fact, verse number 3, the aged women likewise, they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, and teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober. These are the ones coming up behind them, to love their husbands, to love their children. So the training was supposed to start where? At home.
At home.
If the culture is going to be impacted for the glory of God, the training has got to start at home. You and I have got to train our children what we want them to be trained in. By the way, if you don't train them, who will? The world is dying to train your children. They're dying to eat your children alive. They're dying to reprogram your children. And that is the desire that they have. And so when you come down there to verse number 4, he says down there to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And that's something that has to be taught. By the way, if you don't teach the young lady how to be a lady, who's going to teach her? The world's going to teach her.
Yeah, that's right, Pastor.
The world's going to teach her how to dress, how to talk, how to sit, how to do everything. By the way, I'm alarmed at the amount of teenage girls,
wow,
hear me now, that cannot cook.
Whoa, right?
I'm amazed at the amount of teenage girls that cannot cook.
Oh my goodness.
I'm talking 15, 16, 17, don't know how to cook.
Wow.
Now, what happened with that? How many of y'all, your mothers taught you how to cook? I mean, my mother taught me how to cook. Amen. And I'm a boy.
Amen.
And this was her rationale. I said, Mom, why are you teaching me how to cook? She said, what if you don't get married?
Uh-huh.
She said, how are you going to eat? I thought, hmm. I hadn't thought about that.
Good question.
And she said, what if your wife leave you? I hadn't thought about that either. I said, she better not leave me. But she taught me how to cook. My mother taught me how to sew.
Wow.
You say, why teach how to sew? In case you get a rip. And you know, she's not around to mend. Somebody's got to do the mending. Amen. Otherwise, you're going to pay for a tailor. She taught me how to clean.
Yep.
Taught me how to do everything. I could hold down the house by myself.
Amen.
Why? My mother said, look, I want you to know what you need to know before you get out there.
Yep.
Because if you're going to depend on a woman to do it, what if she don't know how to do it?
That's a good question.
So when you look at it, the things in the home are things that you and I are supposed to teach them. And this is a laundry list of things here. Notice verse number 2. Matter of fact, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience. The aged women, likewise, they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, love their husband, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And notice that. Be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Now, if I'm going to be a keeper at home, that means that's going to be my responsibility as a young lady to make sure that I'm taking care of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says down there, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. He that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And so he goes down there and lets you know that you as an older man or older lady in the home should really be perpetuating that same teaching to your children.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that your children understand what's going on. By the way, when your children get out in society and they do something wrong, who do they blame? They blame the parent. They blame the parent. What do you do when you see a bad kid in the store? I wonder who his parents are.
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder what kind of home training they have. That's the first thing you think. Where are their parents at? When you look at that, a couple things that we want to look at as we finish up this area. Parents provide for the children. And I read this last week. I'll read it again. It says, many parents are allowing TV to rear their children, but God wants you as a parent to be the primary influence on their lives. Now, is anything wrong with the TV in and of itself? No. The TV is not the bad guy. It's what comes on the TV that becomes the bad guy. And what you allow to come through the TV and through the airwaves.
Yes,
amen. So God has given the responsibility to you and I to lead and train our children and to build their faith so they can follow him. By the way, let me give you this. Is it the responsibility of the Sunday school teachers to train your children? No. The Sunday school teacher's job is to reinforce what you should already be teaching.
That's right, Pastor.
Is it the job of the children's church teachers to teach your children?
No.
No, it's their job to reinforce what you should be teaching them already. Is it Pastor Pirate's job to teach your children? No. Their job is to reinforce what you should already be teaching. Most of the stuff, if they're church children, should already be a review or just a reinforcement of what mom and dad has already said. Amen. Now, if you bring your children to school with the express fashion or reason of saying, I'm going to let them teach my children, they only get 45 minutes, if that, in Sunday school, 45 minutes, if that, in children's church, that's all they get.
Yep.
You're with them how long?
All day
most
day,
times.
Pastor, all day.
So we've got to make sure that we take the responsibility of teaching our children. And by the way, this is Christian Home Month. And if we don't teach them Christian values, who will?
That's right, Pastor.
Amen.
Bless you.
I read this as well last week. Many Christian homes have so little guidance that the mind of Christ is hardly ever found. And we found that the children aren't being trained to obey the word of God. And that's why. Timothy had a godly mother and a godly grandmother, and so he knew what he was supposed to do. His mother served God, his grandmother served God, even though his dad didn't, and that was enough to get him over the hump. Amen. By the way, it says this, there needs to be a difference between our homes and the homes of the world, what kind of difference should there be between our homes and the world's homes? What kind of difference should it be? Fred? Focus on Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. Diana? Peace, respect, joy of serving God. Amen. Mm-hmm. As a child growing up in a Christian home, should I expect a bunch of arguing and fighting between mom and dad?
No.
Now, there's going to be sibling rivalry. We understand that. Yep. But should the children be beating each other up constantly in a negative way? No, they really shouldn't. Now, you know, they're going to name call. That goes with being a child. I mean, they're going to pick with each other like siblings do. That goes with being a child. But should the home be a place where I despise coming? I was just reading this week. There was a daughter kept having dinner with the neighbors next door. And so, you know, every time it was time for dinner, she would never pray. And as they were eating the dinner, you know, the parents kind of wondered why she didn't pray. And so she'd come over. And so one day the parents asked her, you know, hey, you know, why do you, when you come over here, why don't you pray? She said, don't you pray at your home when you guys eat dinner? Wow. And the girl said, no, God doesn't live at our house.
Whoa. Wow.
God doesn't live at our house. So she figured, I can't pray since God doesn't live there. But next door, God lives there. And so she wanted to go next door to eat dinner. Mm. Parents, may I caution you, when your children want to always be at somebody else's house, watch out.
Oh boy.
They should want to be at your house more than any other house. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying, well, you know, because you have rules and restrictions and they don't like being there. But you got to have rules. You got to have restrictions.
Yep.
But when a child doesn't want to be at home, there's a problem with that. There's a problem. They should desire to be home because it should be the sweetest place on earth.
Yes, sir.
It should be a piece of heaven on earth. They should long to get there. Now, they're going to want to go other places. We understand that. Yep. They're going to want to go to Johnny's house, and they want to go to Jim's house and Sally's house and Sue's house. We understand that because they've got the latest Xbox or the Xbox or the Y-box or whatever. We understand they're going to want to go there. But there should be no other place that they desire to be like they desire to be at home. And if they don't, you need to ask yourself, why don't they? One thing that I will tell you that most children will say that they're lacking at home and in Christian homes is love.
Wow.
Love. Love without being judgmental. Love that hears them out. Love that doesn't want to try to correct them at every turn. By the way, you can't correct your child at every turn. Why? Why can't you correct them at every turn? Diana? Exactly. How would you feel if you were always being corrected every turn? Mm. At every turn.
Wow.
There's, you know, every turn you're corrected. Every turn you're corrected. You don't want to be around that person.
No, you don't.
And so you've got to be careful. You know, don't be so overbearing. Let them grow. Let them learn. Now, you're going to have to correct them. We understand that.
Yep.
But not at every turn. Give them some leeway. Looking at what they say here, we must have some rules and standards that we actually enforce. And by the way, stand by 1 second, sis, we'll get you. We're going to have a parenting DVD next week.
Wow.
And the parenting DVD says this: we do our children a disservice when we continue to let them get away with doing wrong. Because they learn a pattern. I don't have to do right until the sixth time or the seventh time because there's a pattern. And so that they're going to talk about that next week. Diana, what are you going to say? Amen. Amen. I was just talking to the guy that led me to the Lord, my spiritual birthday was February 3rd. I turned 26 years old in the Lord and saved 26 years. And the guy that led me to the Lord called me up. And I was talking to him for a while. He wished me a happy birthday. And I picked with him a little bit. Then he had told me this. He said, you know, I've been bitter for a while.
Wow.
And I said, what happened? And his daughter had did something that really upset him. And he was bitter. And he said, I had to get that thing right with God. He said, our relationship is restored right now. He said, but she did something that really, he said, I just couldn't forgive her for what she did. And he said, I was bitter for a long time. He said, she was miserable. I was miserable. He said, but now I got that thing right. You know, our children are going to let us down at times.
Yep.
They're going to do things that cause us to be angry and bitter. But you can't hold a grudge. You can't not forgive them. I mean, that goes against every fiber of what the Bible teaches. You can't hold it. Now, they may hold something against you, but you can't control that. But as a parent, you can't do that. It goes on to say this. Dads need to provide direction for the family. Moms should give guidance to the children as well. And then they work together as parents to build the children's faith and belief in God. And they should make the Word of God a real part of daily life, not just something you bring out on Sundays for church. And I wrote this down. The number one downfall in Christian homes is this. Listen very carefully. Families that will go to church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, but Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they live like the devil.
Wow. That's amazing.
That is hypocritical. To go to church on Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I live like the devil. I watch the devilish programs. I listen to devilish music. I go where the devil's crowd hangs out. That is hypocritical. What are you teaching your children? And that is the number one downfall in Christian homes. Children that look at their parents on Sunday and in church, and they see them, you know, praising God and singing the songs and having a good time, but then they see them go home and curse. They see them on the phone cursing and gossiping. They see them watching programs that they know Christians ought not watch. I remember teaching a teenager several years ago, actually before I started this ministry, when I was in my other ministry. And I had one teenage girl who had really sold out to God.
Wow.
And she was having the toughest time living for God at home. Mm-hmm. Her mother was saved. Her dad was saved. Her brothers were saved. Everybody in her family was saved, except they didn't live like it. And so they wanted to watch all kind of wicked programs. And as a teenager, she said, Pastor, I can't watch that. I wasn't pastor. I was Brother Dawson back then. Mm-hmm. Brother Dawson, every time I go there, I can't watch those programs. I said, well, go in your room. She said, but they want me to watch these programs with them. And these are programs that I know God doesn't want me to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you tell a child like that? Her parents are supposedly saved.
Yeah.
And I don't doubt that they were.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't living a sanctified life. They're living a worldly life. What do you tell a child like that? When they're confronted with a situation where mom and dad says, now I want you to watch this program, but they know it's not of God.
Right.
And she's trying to live for God. What do you tell a young person? Was that brother? And that's exactly what I told her. I said, you know, the Bible says thou shalt not set a wicked thing before thine eyes. I said, if it's wicked, I said, you plead with your parents. And you plead and say, look, this is against what God wants me to do.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you let them know. You're not trying to throw your convictions on them. If they have no problem with it, that's up to them. I said, but God is showing you that you have a big problem with that because of what he has said. I said, so you beg and plead with your parents. This is what God is showing me. I'm not trying to push my beliefs on you, but this is what God is showing me. And you stand for God.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now at the end of the day, if they make you do it, I said, what you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I said, but you stand for God and you say, look, I've got the backing of Almighty God. And ask them, what backing do they have to make you watch it?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not asking you to be a rebel. I'm not telling you to rebel against your family. I said, it's all in how you ask them. I said, it's all in how you talk about this with them. I said, you're not going with a holier than thou attitude. You're not going in there like you know more than your parents. I said, you're going to go in respectful. You're going to go in honoring. And make a request, just like Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself.
Right.
I said, and you go in. I said, I guarantee you, God will bring you into favor with your parents to get what you're asking to do because it's godly. It's of God. And the situation turned out very nice. But that's a tough call. When you want to live for God as a child, but everybody else is not, even though your parents. And you know, and that's the sad part, because I knew the parents and I knew everybody in the family. And it really hurts when a child is placed in that situation. But that is the number one downfall in Christian homes, is that Christian parents that go to Sunday school Sunday morning, Sunday night, they'll go Wednesday. They on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they don't live like they love God. They don't read the Word of God. The Bible doesn't have a prominent place in the home. And the programs that they watch are not honoring to God.
That's right, Pastor.
And that's a contradiction. There's several things that I wrote down here that I said that true love and tough love is going to do to our children. And by the way, God does say no in many of our lives and our areas. If I'm going to have a Christian home, if I'm going to raise my children in a way that's going to glorify God, what can I do to help them as a parent? What can I do? Give me several things. I've got several things here. What can I do? Give me some input. If I'm going to raise some godly children, what can I do on a regular basis with my children that they will turn out right? Gary?
Set an example.
Set an example. Okay, so what can I do with my example? Clean up after myself. Amen. That is true. But what are some spiritual things that I can do? Brother Jesse?
Pray with them on a regular basis and lead devotions.
Pray with them on a regular basis, lead in devotions. Yes. Ronquita? Amen. By the way, family that prays together stays together.
Mm-hmm.
What else can I do to help them out? Here's a missing link in many homes. Talk to them.
Ah, there it is.
Everybody's like this. Mom's like this. Dad's like this. Kids are like this. Everybody's like this. And everybody's sitting there on a little corner. If they don't got that, they got a little tablet.
Yes, sir.
Do, 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 do. And nobody's talking to anybody in the house. One's over here. One's over there. One's over here. And everybody's got a device. Do, 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 do. Talk, talk, talk. And by the way, don't let your kids be on those things 24 hours a day.
No way, Pastor.
Hey, unless they're reading the Bible on them.
Hey,
you know. We are losing the art of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And we're losing many young people to devices. And many of these devices are becoming vices.
Uh-huh.
Because they got to have it. Like you got to have, you know, coffee or nicotine or cigarette. I got to have it. You know, where's my iPad? You know, no, where's your Bible?
Yeah, that's good, Pastor.
Let's ask that. Where's your Bible?
Where's your Bible at?
Amen. What's some other things we can do to help our children? Yes, Rose? Forgiveness. Amen. That's a big one. Forgiveness. By the way, dads and moms need to do it. Children need to do it. Sam?
Show them joy and live for the Lord.
Amen. Show them joy and living for the Lord. My wife and I read a devotion the other day. I shared it with my mom, with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it talked about how many young people don't want to serve God because of what they see in their parents.
Wow.
Their parents view coming to church as if I got to go to church.
Mm.
I got to serve God. I got to give some money. I got to do this. They said, that's the wrong attitude. The attitude is, I get to do this.
Yes,
you know, in some Chinese countries, in China and Islamic countries, there are Christians that are dying to serve God openly like we do.
That's good.
They're dying to have their own Bible like we have. And so how do the children see you serving God? With joy?
Wow.
With gladness or sadness? And that's a big one. Amen. Some other things that we can do to help our children. Yes.
Exactly.
Amen. That's a big one. Amen. We tell them to do it all the time. Admit when you're wrong, apologize, but then we don't want to do it. Amen. Some things I wrote down here. We can have devotions with them, which was mentioned. We can actually quote Bible scriptures and help them to memorize the scriptures. By the way, most of their classes give them scriptures to memorize. You know, memorize the scripture along with them. See, I bet you I can memorize it before you can. I guarantee you they'll get it done before you will. They don't have as much on their mind as you got on your mind. Amen. Now, and this is a big one as well. As they're quoting Bible and memorizing Bible, ask them what it means. And then ask them, how does it apply to their life? And how can they use it in their daily life? It does children no good to memorize a bunch of scriptures. They don't know how to use them.
Right.
Just like that's like me reading a manual on how to operate a computer, but I never use it.
Oh, man.
Well, I know you're supposed to do this and this, but I never put it into practice.
Yeah, that's
And so when it comes to the children, making sure they understand what they're reading and how it applies, and then have them explain it and teach Christian principles in the home. Go to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Notice how Moses puts it here to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 6. By the way, if you did not already know this, I will let you know that being a parent is a big responsibility. It is not for the squeamish. It's not for the weak. And you only get one shot at it.
Yep.
Once the children are grown, they're grown. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Notice down in verse number 3. Matter of fact, verse number 2. Yeah, I might as well start at verse number 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach who? You. That ye might what? Do them in the land where ye go to possess it, that thou mightest what? Fear the Lord thy God, and do what? Keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. Who? Thou, and who else? Thy son, and who else? Thy son's son, so that's your grandson, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to what? Do it, that it may be what? Well with thee. So in other words, God's saying this is for your own good.
Yeah.
And that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt what? Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Just in that one phrase, how can we show our kids that? That they ought to love the Lord with all their heart, with all their mind. How can we mimic that? How can we exemplify that in our life? What is there that we can do? And one of them is what Sam said. Have some joy in serving God. Love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy might. How can we exemplify that to children? That I need to love the Lord. I mean, because you can tell them to love the Lord all your heart. Mm-hmm. You can tell them to love him with all your soul and all your might. But what does that really look like played out? What does it look like? Because children will show me. Okay, Dad, Mom, you said love the Lord with all. What does it look like? What are we going to do? Love one toward another. Amen. And what is love? Love is an action word. And so love does for the object that it loves. And so if I love God, I'm going to do for God. And if I do for God, I'm going to do for God, as Sam said, with a joyful heart, a joyful spirit. Okay. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. That's your mind, emotions, and will. So I'm going to be thinking about him all the time. And with all thy might, I'm going to put everything into serving my God. That's great. Now, notice what he goes on to say. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy who? Children. And shall what? Oh, no, not talk of them. Not that. He didn't say you shall not to email them or iPad them, text them. No, he said talk of them. When thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou sittest down, and when thou risest up. So in other words, he said, be talking about the Lord all the time.
Yes, sir.
He didn't say text it. He didn't say email it. He didn't say, you know, any of those things. He said, talk about it. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and that they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. So in other words, he said, put it all around them. By the way, you can never have too much godliness in your home.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
You can never have too much godliness. Have a Bible verse on the refrigerator. Hey, that's where everybody goes.
Yes, sir.
Have one in the bathroom. That's where everybody goes.
Yep.
You know, have one going out to the garage. That's where everybody goes.
Yep.
Have one over the play chest. That's where everybody goes. Have one in the playroom. That's where everybody goes. Have a Bible handy. Have a devotional books. You know, my children, bless their hearts, they spend so much time in the bathroom. You say, preacher, why do you spend so much time in the bathroom? We got tons of reading material in there.
That's good.
I mean, we've got all sorts of spiritual reading material in there, and they go in there and just get lost. And I mean, they just start reading. I mean, I got Peanuts, spiritual Peanuts comic books, and we got Chick Tracks in there. I've got comic books in there that picture Battles of Jericho and all that kind of. I just got a bunch of reading material, and they will go in, and we actually have to drag them out sometimes. Look, come out of the bathroom, put the books down. Because they get those books, they get to reading everything in there. You know, Joshua just came out last night. I said, Joshua, what on earth were you doing in there so long? Reading Joshua? Figures you're reading Joshua. Amen. I said, which part did you read? Trying to catch him. He said, the Battle of Jericho. I said, well, amen. All right. So having those things around the house really helps out. Amen. Constantly teaching biblical principles because they are in a culture that does not want to get them anything. Let me give you the last three, the Roman numeral three here. Three, victory in a purposeful future. Victory in a purposeful future. Victory in a purposeful future. Then God has a purpose for his children. God has a purpose for his children. Then B, God has a place for his children. God has a place for his children. So Roman number three, victory in a purposeful future. By the way, to overcome the world and our culture, we have to remember that God has a wonderful plan for our life and our future. By the way, do you know that God wants to use your child in the future? He wants to. He has a purpose for your child. Did y'all know that? God has a purpose for your child. God didn't just randomly create your kids for no reason at all. God has a purpose for your children. Now, the key is, if God's got a purpose for my children, how can I help them find that purpose? By doing exactly what we just said. Putting some things in their lives and beginning to work with them. Let me read what the book says here. It says, having a purpose and a goal gives meaning to life. God did not intend for us to retire and sit in a lawn chair. Even as we grow older, he wants us to accomplish things for him. I was talking to Carl a couple of months ago. I said, Carl, it's time to retire. Carl, I'm not retiring. Nobody, not me. I'm going to keep working. Amen. So God doesn't want us to retire and sit in the lawn chair. Amen. Hey, he wants us to retire and then still keep getting busy for him. It says this, the number of people who die shortly after retirement should be a warning to us to keep planning for the future. That's another thing that Carl told me as well. He said, look, I saw this guy retire and this guy, and no, I'm not retiring. No, no. How many of y'all know somebody that died shortly after retirement? Amen. You know what happens? You're used to going and then you stop. And your body's not designed for you to stop. Sometimes that job or whatever it is keeps you going. And so God didn't intend for us to do that. And Paul reminded Timothy that God had called him for a purpose as well. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. Purpose means a setting forth or an intention. So God has an intention for your children and he has one for you. Go to Proverbs 22:6 real quick with me. Proverbs 22:6. Most of us can probably quote this. Proverbs 22:6. And Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And 22:6. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. So that is the way God has already purposed for him to be in. And so if I'm going to put that child in the way that God has purposed for him to be in, I need to know what that way is, don't I? That means I've got to study the child's character. I've got to study his likes, his dislikes, what he excels in, what he doesn't excel in. I need to know this child to put this child in the way that he ought to be. And the only way that I'm going to be able to do that is getting to know the child. Because it says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. The only way he's not going to depart from it is because it's the way that he should go. Amen. And that's the way that God has determined for him to go. By the way, the revealed will of God, if you could pull back the future and see where your child's going to be 10 years from now or 20 years from now, would you want to see it? Would you want to see it? I think most of us would probably say no. You know why? Because a lot of where they're going to be depends on you. Yep. A lot of what you put in them. I'm not going to say everything, but a lot of what you put in them, your encouragement, your correction, your counsel, the way you deal with them can make them go for God or not go for God. And so most of us probably wouldn't want to see 10, 20 years down the line where our children are going to be. But I tell you what, they're going to be someplace. They're going to be someplace if the Lord, Terrence is coming. God has a purpose for his children. Let me read this here, and we're going to be closing here. God knew us before we were born. He has a perfect plan for our lives. Our dream and goal should be to find and fulfill that purpose that God has intended for our lives and our children's lives. What does God want you to do with your life? Question mark. True success is reaching the point where you know you are doing what God intends for you to do, and you do it with all your might and with all your heart. God has a purpose for you. Are you in it? By the way, let me give you this. Some people are discontented in what they're doing because they're not in the will of God.
Wow.
If you're not in the will of God, you're going to be discontented because that's not where God wants you to be. You're going to be discontented. I'm going to talk a little bit about that this morning in marriage and talking about the message this morning. But keep in mind, God has a purpose for your children, and God has a place for all of his children, and we have to be reminded of that as well. You've got one there, God saves through the gospel. God saves through the gospel. And then two, God replaced death with immortality through the gospel. God replaced death with immortality through the gospel. And the purpose for every last one of us is to be a witness. That's God's purpose. God saves through the gospel. And then God replaced death with immortality through the gospel. That's one and two. Everybody got all of Roman number three now? Everybody got that? Amen. So victory in a purposeful future. God has a purpose for his children. He wants his children to be doing something. God has a place for his children. He wants us to be someplace. And then God saves through the gospel. And then two, God replaced death with immortality through the gospel. Again, it is the gospel message that God wants us to give out to our children first and foremost, and then to anybody that we get a chance to give the gospel to. But bear in mind that this culture will either be positively impacted by your children or negatively impacted by your children. There is no neutral ground. They're going to either positively for Christ affect culture or negatively for Christ. Amen. I'll give you one memory verse. It's going to be for next week. 1 Peter 4:12. 1 Peter 4:12. We'll be going into victory over adversity next week.
Wow.
Lord knows we need that. Amen. Victory over adversity. 1 Peter 4:12 for next week. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, is the verse. 1 Peter 4:12. Father, bless now as we look at victory over culture. It really is going to come from us in godly homes. Lord, building our children up, living a life that's pleasing in your sight, and doing that which only you can do, Lord. It's going to be predicated on a real faith and a loving family, and then realizing a purposeful future is ahead of us. Bless now the refreshments next door, and Lord, the message that we have this morning as we stand for the Christian home. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Help us with the memory verse as well to not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which really are going to try us. In Jesus' name, amen.